Greetings, friends. Today is the 10th of Shvat, year 5777. And beginning this Friday night, running through Saturday night, is the holiday of Tu B'Shvat, which literally means the 15th of Shvat. So it's also the full moon. Tu B'Shvat is the new year of the trees, and there's a wonderful ritual of eating different kinds of fruit to celebrate the trees and also to connect with your inner tree, the tree of life of Kabbalah. There's a beautiful Seder put together by my friend Rabbi David Seidenberg, which I'm posting as well, and you can get a lot more wonderful materials for Tu B'Shvat on his website, which is neohasid.org. So check that out if you're interested to create your own Tu B'Shvat ceremony or connect with your local shul to do it in community. In this video, I want to talk about two kinds of motivation to do your avodah, your spiritual practice, such as learning, like what you're doing right now as you watch or listen to this teaching, or it could be meditation or prayer or any other number of practices. The first kind of motivation comes from your mind. So in this motivation, you understand intellectually that it's a good idea to meditate. So you try to convince yourself, discipline yourself, make rules for yourself, and so on, in order to motivate yourself to practice. Now, for most people, this strategy alone doesn't work too well. Just look at all the people who smoke cigarettes or eat unhealthy food. Nearly everyone knows that those things are bad for you intellectually, but that's not enough to change their habits. Why? Because the motivation to smoke the cigarettes is much more powerful, since it comes from desire. You may understand that you should stop, but you don't want to stop. And want is far more powerful than intellectual understanding for most people. So if you want to be motivated to do your avodah, it's usually not enough to think that you should do it. You have to want to do it, which is the second and far more powerful type of motivation. So where does that thirst come from, that longing for the divine, or for liberation, or for truth, or for oneness, or however you put it to yourself? It can come in one of two different ways. The first way it may come is from experiencing intense suffering and wanting to get free, get relief from the suffering. The second way it may come is from getting a little taste of divine bliss or freedom or the experience of oneness and wanting more of that. And sometimes you might be motivated by both. There's a story about the legendary Hasidic Rebbe, Rabbi Baruch, that illustrates this last scenario really nicely. The story goes that Rabbi Baruch was teaching on the 119th Psalm, which says in verse 19, Ger anochi ba'aretz, al tister mimeni mitzvotecha. I am a stranger on the earth, don't hide your commandments from me. Rabbi Baruch explained that this is like a person who's been driven into exile, and they come to an alien land where the language and customs are completely different. But then a second stranger appears, and even though the first stranger may have had nothing in common with the second stranger, they both now have one thing in common. They're both strangers in an alien land. So they become great friends, all because they're both strangers. And so this is what the psalm means, says Rabbi Baruch. It's saying to Hashem, Ger anochi ba'aretz, I feel like a ger, a stranger, out of place and disconnected from my life and from the world. But you, Hashem, are present here as well. So please, al tister mimeni mitzvotecha, don't conceal yourself from me, but let me connect with you. And to understand that, you have to know that the word for commandment, which is mitzvah, shares a root with the Aramaic word tzava, which means to connect. So in the story, first is mentioned the feeling of being disconnected or separate or alien. That's the suffering that leads the stranger to spiritual longing. And so the stranger cries out to God, don't conceal yourself. Practically speaking, you can try this yourself anytime you're feeling suffering. The tendency when you feel suffering, of course, is to pull away from your feeling, to judge it, to wish you were feeling something different. But instead, try remembering This suffering is itself part of reality, arising in the space of this moment, and therefore God or truth or being is just as much present in the suffering as in the highest spiritual bliss. You can even pray like in the story, O Hashem, please reveal yourself in this space. And when you do that, when you really pray that from the heart, what happens? Instead of pulling away or judging your experience, you come more deeply into it. You savor it. In other words, you become present. And when you become present, you can begin to notice that however unappealing or strange or painful your situation is, it's all happening within the space of this moment, which is not different from the space of your own presence. And there's nothing more intimate, more complete, more beautiful than this presence that you are. So when you approach your suffering in this way, coming close to it rather than pulling away from it and transforming it, uplifting it into prayer, you may feel the suffering more, not less, but you move through it more quickly to the divine presence that's underneath. So in this way, you're motivated in your practice both by the experience of suffering, meaning wanting to get out of the suffering, as well as the sweet taste of presence that's underneath the suffering. This week's Torah portion is Parshat Beshalach. Beshalach means sending out. It says, Vayehi Beshalach Paro et Ha'am. And it was when Pharaoh sent out the people, V'lo nacham Elohim derech eretz pelishtim ki karov hu. God didn't lead them on the road to the land of the Philistines, which was closer. Ki amar Elohim, pen yenachem ha'am birotam milchama v'shavu mitzrayma. Because God said the people might reconsider when they see battle and want to return back to Egypt. So metaphorically speaking, Pharaoh sending out the Israelites is like when we are sent out of our inner bondage by the experience of suffering. We don't like the suffering, so we're motivated to find spiritual freedom. And if you want spiritual freedom, there's a really fast and direct way to get it. Just come into this moment as it is, without resistance. That's the practice of presence. But then it says, V'lo nacham Elohim derech eretz pelishtim ki karov hu. God didn't lead them on the road to the land of the Philistines, which was closer, because when they encounter battle with the Philistines, they might get scared and want to go back to Egypt. And this is the obstacle that many people get caught in when they're doing spiritual work. You start practicing presence, and then all of a sudden, all this inner pain comes up. All of your psychological issues and resistances. And rather than be motivated by all that suffering, you'd rather go back to your old strategies. Maybe it's easier just to drink some wine and watch a movie. At that point, you need something even deeper to keep you on track. And that's the power of faith hinted at in the phrase, Ki Karov Hu. In the plain sense, this simply means ki karov hu, which was close, referring to the road in the land of the Philistines, which would have been the closer path for the Israelites to take. But the word hu is also a divine name. Karov means close, but it can also mean intimate, connected. So on this deeper level, it's saying that the divine is present on the road of battle. That is the experience of deep suffering. So have faith in that, because at first you won't experience it. You'll experience pain, but still you should know ki karov hu. Beneath the suffering is that spacious openness and wholeness of this moment, which is actually not separate from your own presence, from your own consciousness. And you can access this presence simply by being present, that is, by being karov, by coming close to your actual experience in this moment, especially in suffering. faith and prayer can help you to do that. So as we come close to this Shabbat Beshalach, the Sabbath of sending, may we come close, may we be karov to the reality of our actual experience and allow that truth to send us out from Mitzrayim, from constriction of separation, into the wild mystery of presence. So the verse we'll sing is from the Ashrei prayer. Ashrei is a tefillah that consists of three different psalms, but it's mostly Psalm 145. And Psalm 145 has a verse for each of the letters of the Aleph Bet, except for the letter Nun, strangely. This is the verse that begins with the letter Kuf, and it says, Karov Hashem Lechol Korav, Lechol Asher Yikra'u Ve'met, which means, close is the divine to all that call upon the divine, to all who call out sincerely. So let's sing together like this. Karov, karov, karov lechol korav. Experience of this moment with Lecha.
Lecha. And bringing your left hand to your belly, connecting with your body. You can adjust your physical position to get comfortable, releasing the excess tension and feeling the flow of your breathing. We'll chant Na'ase. Na'ase. Bringing right hand to the forehead. Bringing to mind that you are the space of this moment, borderless consciousness within which your whole experience right now is arising. Vinishma. Vinishma. Chanting Atahu. Now is it. Stream, when you notice it, you simply bring it back with Atahu, and we'll sit in this presence and repetition of these sacred words for 7 minutes. closing by bringing your hand to your heart. Again, the kavanah of being karov, close to this moment, which means close to everything that is in your experience in this moment, not resisting, but opening with lecha. Lecha. And bringing your left hand to your belly, connecting with your breathing and your body. Naase. Naase. And becoming aware of the space of awareness itself, which allows everything to be as it is. Venishma. Venishma. Atahu. Until next time.